You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast with host Fifi Peters.
Let's head over to London, where as from this Monday, the UK removed all its limits, all its COVID-19 restrictions, that is. So limits on how many people could gather indoors were lifted and clubs were reopened. But Lukman Otunuga, the senior research analyst at FXTM, tells us how things are going. Lukman, thanks so much for joining the show. How are things going?
Thank you very much for having me here. It's always a pleasure. Yeah, Monday was Freedom Day in the UK. It should have been a day of celebration and a step back to normality. However, over the past 24 hours, COVID cases in the UK have actually surged roughly 47,000. So there is still an air of uncertainty despite Monday moving ahead with Freedom Day. On top of this, we've got this pandemic, meaning that there's concerns that there's going to be supply chain disruptions, which are going to negatively impact the UK's economic outlook. So at this point in time, even though the UK weather is amazing and people are out, there is a sense of uncertainty over what the future holds and if the government will be forced to make a U-turn if cases surge throughout summer.
Yeah, I mean, we're all watching what your government and how your government is handling this very closely. But what is a pandemic for those of us who don't know, and how is it contributing to possible food shortages there?
Certainly, this is based around the NHS search application, in which if the app feels that you are at risk of getting COVID-19, it will ask you to self-isolate for a certain amount of days. Now, what's been happening is a large chunk of people have been asked to self-isolate. And interestingly, these people are ones who work in supermarkets, who are, you know, the people that produce the food that we need over the summer period. So what's happening right now is there's this chunk of people who are self-isolating, and this is creating supply chain disruptions, meaning that, you know, simple things in supermarkets, like I live above a supermarket block. I went downstairs to try to get toilet roll, you know, simple supermarket accessories are not available because of labor shortages.
Yeah, I'm just looking at a media report here and official data citing that today, nearly 620,000 people in England and Wales were told to isolate in the week up to July 14th. That's a huge amount of people that are being pinged and asked to isolate for 10 days. I mean, is it chaotic there, or perhaps are the media reports that we are reading are just exaggerating the extent of the issue?
I mean, with the media reports, it's how could I pull it? It's hard to know what to believe and what is true. But what I can say in the economic standpoint is, from what I've seen, especially looking at economic data, the UK is still in a very fragile position. Mm. And unemployment is expected to rise over the next few months as the furlough is slowly tapered down. Now, if this continues to impact businesses, economic activity, we could be back at square one despite the efforts enforced by the Bank of England and the government to create some sort of normality.
So it sounds like you have not taken advantage of your freedom to go to a club.
I've self-isolated at home. I'm keeping safe. I'm wearing my mask for the time being. Hopefully, if I see cases fall over the next few weeks, that will make me more comfortable with going out. But if you look at all the headlines, you know, cases are expected to hit over 100,000. This is just media reports, you know, by the end of summer. So I think it's tense times ahead for the UK.
Yeah. Interesting to hear that you're wearing a mask, given that it's now voluntary, so you don't have to wear a mask in public anymore. But Lukman, on to other matters. I know you look at South Africa very closely, and I imagine that you were tuned into our Reserve Bank governor and what the Monetary Policy Committee had to say at their meeting today. Any standouts for you?
Certainly. Firstly, we can see that the rand has actually depreciated against every single G10 currency today. And this is due to the dovish Saab meeting. It was ruled by doves as the governor actually outlined the mounting risks that are currently threatening South Africa's economy. There's so much going on, sadly, from the violent riots to rising inflationary pressures, surging COVID cases, and negative developments revolving around the vaccine rollouts. Now, even though the government has said that it's too early to tell the impacts of the violence, we can actually see that there is an air of uncertainty, and I expect the rand to be highly sensitive to economic data moving forward.
And in terms of that economic data, because we had our inflation numbers coming out, and today it's, interest rates remaining unchanged, and then you do the math and our real interest rates are negative. What's your thinking around that, and how long that situation remains?
Yeah, this is another really interesting development. We can see that interest rates are record low at 3.5%, and inflationary pressures in South Africa are likely to rise, not only due to domestic factors, but external factors. We've got rising oil prices, rising petrol prices, and other key themes that are likely to feed back into South Africa. Now, given how, the fact that negative real rates are expected to remain at this position for next period, this could raise expectations over the SARB being forced to actually hike interest rates before the end of 2021.
Yeah, and what was also interesting for me was that the governor had actually said that he hadn't seen as yet a negative response from investors following the recent riots. And so, as an investor, having witnessed what was happening in our country from your London town, what is your perception or sentiment of South Africa right now? Has it become a lot more negative, or is it not changed, or has it not been deterred by the riots?
I think the governor said a very valid thing of how it was far too early to determine the negative impacts the riots will have on the economy. But just looking at things on face value, the impacts it may have on businesses, consumers, employment, jobs, and the fact that it may, in an extent, impact South Africa's image as a investment destination in the short term. This is something international investors are likely to pay very close attention to. However, though, I think more time needs to be needed in order to really quantify the impacts of the riots to South Africa's economy.
I mean, worst case scenario, you guys have so much choice of where to go and invest and put your money. South Africa is not the only country that offers you perhaps higher returns than putting your money in the US or even in London, in the Europe where you are. So where could South Africa potentially lose out or competitive favor to?
I mean, when we're looking at South Africa, and when we're looking at Africa in general, like despite what's happening in South Africa, despite the riots and everything, investment-wise, South Africa is still a, how can I put it, a respected destination. The next competitor is Nigeria, and I've been paying very close attention to what's happening in Nigeria. The economic outlook for Nigeria remains negative, clouded by a lot of uncertainty. So I still think South Africa doesn't have much to think about right now in terms of competition across Africa, but it may lose investors to other parts and, other parts of Europe, possibly Asia and the UK.
All right, Lukman, thanks so much for dropping that dose of good news. I suppose it's all in our hands and how we play it. But keep safe, my friend. Keep safe and stay away from being pinged. Until next time, Lukman Otunuga, the senior research analyst at FXTM.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.